and trying to have probably God to be real in our lives, like everyday type deal. Darla called me this last week and she said, I've made 12 dumplings. Do you want to? Well, she made more than that, but you know, the dumplings were important. That's real living. I mean, and if you're wanting potato dumplings, Darla is the one. But she called me on that, and so that's real living. And of course, it looked like I'm doing pretty good on the living side of that. Hallelujah. And I think that we had a Zoom conference yesterday, and the Zoom conference was on the victory of the soul, having victory in your soul. And again, the soul, remembering that it is your mind, will, and emotions. And you know, in the days that we live in, what is people fighting with? Their mind, will, and emotions. And the victory is when we can trust in God, that He has come into our lives and the truth of His word is taking over every aspect of our life. And I just loved when we were singing that, how powerful that was. You know, that it's just being taken over, it's being taken over. And I always remember coming to, as a young Christian, coming to a service, and it took about 10 minutes, and I started getting the idea that, you know, God's in control. And so today, Apostle David Lyon is with us. That was Prophet Dave Wagner, what I just read off, so he was with us. And actually, Dave was with us yesterday in the Zoom meetings. We have another Zoom meeting coming up in about 2 weeks, and it is going to be on that subject matter. It'll be a Saturday morning at 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock, and we had probably 10 people speaking on the Zoom meeting yesterday from Northern Canada. Our good brother, our Indian brother from Northern Canada, Marcel Okama, all the way down to Central and South America with Panama and Nicaragua. And that was so good. And I think we probably had 10 people speaking, and we did that in 1 hour. You know, I mean, preacher, yeah, miracles, yeah. When a preacher only preaches 1 hour, we're saying that's a miracle. Well, we had ten miracles going on, but it was so refreshing to hear viewpoints and thoughts about the soul from 10 different people. And we didn't rehearse, we didn't go through anything, but as we were speaking and after it was all done, it was so edifying, it was so building up. And you know what? That's really what God has called us to do, is build each other up. Amen? And that's in an everyday manner. Jamie was on there. We appreciated that. Jen Manning was on there. We had, Dave Wagner was on the Zoom. Of course, we had Oscar Hines from Nicaragua, Managua. And so these are the things that really kind of bring us together. I haven't been able to travel out of the United States for 1 year. In fact, we were in Nicaragua probably about a year ago. And we had a great time in Nicaragua. We put in 10 stools, 10 sinks, and in a school system. And their bathroom was, well, it was a bad bathroom. And, you know, it was interesting how the gospel can be preached almost better by you doing something for someone that would not have the ability to put that in. And we raised the finances. I think it was something like $10,000, went down there, bought the stools, poured the concrete. Jeff was with us, and it was a great, great time. So I think us just living together and treating each other like God treats us and how good he is to us. And if we would treat each other like that, hey, I think we're going to have a wonderful, wonderful time in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So today, David Lyon, a minister here, and his wife, Diane, preached last week. And we're going to do some sharing. We got Danny that's going to be the guy that will be emceeing, or won't be emceeing, but you'll be bringing the mic to people. So, yeah, that'd be an emceer, wouldn't it, David?
Sure, yep.
All right. Danny, here's the mic here, buddy.
Well, Pastor had called me and asked if I had anything on my heart to share. And, you know, I mean, I was just honest and said, no. And it's like, oh, where do you go from there? And but you know, what I did have was a concept. And sometimes if you follow the concept, the words will come later. I used to teach Bible college students, and I said, there's some that stand up to say something and some that have something to say. And it's always better to be the latter, where you have something to say rather than, oh, everybody came, they expect me to talk for 40 minutes, so I'll just say something for 40 minutes and everybody leaves unedified and spent 40 minutes of their lives really getting not a whole lot out of it, and everybody fulfilled their right religious obligation and, you know, didn't want to go there, you know. So what we decided to do is, I remember... when I was young, my pastor would have a guest minister in, or even myself when I was pastoring, I'd have a guest minister in, and somebody asked me one time, what do you guys talk about when you're, like, together? And, you know, you want to get real spiritual and all things you'll never know of, you know, football, coffee, you know, stuff, real life things. But there are also spiritual applications out of those talks. So we thought it might edify you a little bit if we just discuss some things, topics. And then as we discuss those topics, if you have any questions, you can go ahead and just, you know, pop a finger up or whatever it is, and Danny will run over to you, and we'll field the question. The other thing is, if we're off topic and you have a topic you want to talk about, let's go ahead and address that. So if you didn't get anything out of church today, that's on you. Okay, so you will get out of church exactly what you put into it today.
Absolutely,
all right.
Yes.
So the other thing is too is when you have a message and you're the sole messenger behind a pulpit, God, say for example, might put a message of healing. So you come and you minister on healing, and that one sick person out of the 99 gets blessed, and the others sort of walk away and go, I'm going through financial hell, so I don't know how that helped, and my marriage is a mess, and I've got devils living there, and I don't even know how to cast them out. And, you know, so you can only address one thing at a time. So today's message is called Believer's Buffet. All right, you're going to have a buffet spread for you. You can call it Believer's Buffet, Bible Buffet, whatever you want, but today's a smorgasbord for you.
Yes,
so everybody's going to get something to eat, because we're not just going to stay on one topic. So with that being said, that sort of gives you an idea of how the service this morning is going to work. It's viewer participation, so to speak. Now, getting back a little bit, and I sort of want to segue into something, because you were touching on praise and worship. The Holy Spirit had put that part of the service together. This is our battle, you know, worship. Then you mentioned on it Dave Wagner. So we'll just segue into that a little bit. Do you know that there's a Greek word for praise called therapeuo? And guess what English word comes out of that?
Therapeutic.
Isn't that interesting how praise and worship is designed to be therapeutic? You see people coming into church as a pastor. You see them coming in, heads down, tail between their legs. How was your week? You know, and then they start worshiping God. And then you start to see something happen to them. What happens is they start to get some metal back in their spine. They start to stand upright. They start to act like a child of God again. They raise their hands and they raise their hearts and they raise their hopes, and they're singing about a God that can't fail, which if they would have just done it Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, they probably wouldn't have had to come into church like that. So just remember, worship is therapeutic. Just like exercise. It's like therapy. It's good for you. It'll build you up spiritually. It'll keep you strong. I remember when I was a young preacher, I wasn't ordained or anything yet, but I had gone to minister in a church in the prairies of Canada. And a lady came up for prayer because she said, my son is in the provincial, state mental health. You know, people call them all sorts of things, but state health is good. Loony bin, you know. But anyways, he was, I did. I could have chose not to, but I chose not to. So anyway, that's just part of my raw nature. But people walk away and they say, you know, they used to say, Pastor, we never have to wonder what you're talking about. So he was having mental conditions. He was locked away. And she said, could you pray for him? And then God gave me a word of knowledge. And I said, I want you to go and lay your hands on him every day and just pray in tongues, just pray in the Holy Ghost. But then I want you to be praying praise and worship music, praise and worship music, praise and worship music. And back then they didn't have people stopping you from trying to do that stuff. And, I came back there, I don't know, 6 weeks, 2 months later, and here she was with her son in his right mind. Praise and worship is therapeutic.
Yes.
It will affect your mind. It will affect your spirit. So I would encourage you, does anybody have any scented candles in their home that they like to burn, or these diffusers? And those are nice, aren't they? What happens? It changes the atmosphere in the house, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Can you see where I'm going with this? Mm-hmm. Keep praise and worship music going on in your home. Well, that's a waste of power. That's a waste of money. Well, you waste money on other things, so why not just have a little bit of power keeping the praise and worship on when you're not there? So
yes,
when you come
yes.
home, because God said, I inhabit the praises of my people. Mm-hmm. And just because you're not there doesn't mean God's not inhabiting that praise. So when you come home, it smells like God in here.
Yeah.
You can walk into an atmosphere. When my wife's cooking and I walk in the house, I can tell, ooh, good things are on the stove, you know. And I like to walk into an atmosphere where the presence of God is. So you can create that in your home. Just keep the praise and worship music. Because here's the thing. The Bible says if we don't praise him, the rocks and stones will cry out. Well, did you know that the early cassette tapes and everything had a substance in there that was made out of some of the rocks of the ground? I forget what mineral it was, but it helped comprise the tape to help put the recording on. So if we're not going to praise him, he had cassette tapes that would cry out to him. So I'm just saying, you can change the atmosphere in your home. And I don't mean to take that much time, but I hope some of these things are helping you a little bit. Create the atmosphere in your home for the presence of God. And when you come to church on Sunday, you'll get more out of it, because you won't be so far gone. We got to build you up just to get you out the door so you can just barely make it in next week. We want to go from glory to glory, victory to victory, staying strong, fighting strong, you know. And so, you know, that's the other thing. I was thinking about a message quite a while back, how to get the most out of a church service. And I preached on that, and every pastor that I was working with over the time said, could I have those notes? And they went back and they ministered it to their church, because it was a good message. But here's the thing. If you pray for your pastor, it's going to be exciting to come to church to see your answered prayers.
It's good.
Amen? And so you pray for your church, because that's making a spiritual investment. And then the other thing is, you know, I'm not the greatest at it, but we're talking maybe hypothetical here. But, you know, if you arrive early, you can walk around, pray, get to know people, have some fellowship, you know. The other thing is, don't run out the doors like the building's on fire at the end of service, you know. Get to know people.
Yeah.
Shake some hands, stick around, be in the afterglow a little bit. It's a community of believers. A church is a community of believers. And you look for like-minded people. That's why some of you, I know you're looking for churches. Well, that's how we ended up here. We ended up looking for a church where we felt there was a fit. And I know when it comes to marriage, you know, Pastor, they talk about not being unequally yoked. But you can have two believers, you've probably seen it too over the years, two believers meet, but they're unequally yoked, because Jesus said there's three types of people: hot, cold, and lukewarm. I mean, that's just it. Three type of believers. You're either hot, cold, or lukewarm, right? So if a hot believer marries a cold believer, are they equally yoked?
No.
So you want to find somebody that's your spiritual temperature. So in a sense, when you're looking for a church, you can look, do I like the building? Do I like the praise and worship? But there's that spirit in man that bears witness. Is there a temperature witness? Is the presence of, that's what us, Diane and I, we're looking for a place that would witness, God is here. God is with the people. And so we sense the presence of God, so we just kept coming to see how relationships and things would build. So that's another thing. When you're looking for a church, look for that spiritual temperature, you know. And that's okay if you're lukewarm or cold. We'll get you hot. So just keep coming, you know.
Yes.
It's all right. That's what we're going to do. So those are just some thoughts. Anybody have anything they want to share about that, go ahead. But I thought I'd just kick it off with that.
Yeah, I was thinking, am I on here? Okay, I was thinking about Sue and Jim Yoakum. They play 24-hour praise and worship, and they have a place where they're creating a, on Friday nights, they have fire on ice and different things like that, but they take the time and effort. And when you walk into that building and into that sanctuary, there is something that has went on for all that length of time, and it literally, you come in and it almost like everything falls off. Yeah. And I think like during the week we were talking about as a Christian, an early Christian, we would call it victory night, and we would lose the victory. You know, Sunday morning it was great, you know. Sometimes it was great. You had to deal with your family, and the enemy did not want the family to be, you know, in the Christian community. But we found out that the enemy would fight us tooth and nail. And this was right when we were just about six to eight weeks in the Lord. He'd fight us on Wednesday night. I would be late. We would get in a fight in the car. We had 25 miles to drive, so we had 25 miles to fight if necessary. And we figured
it
out.
Keeping it real. I like that.
Yeah, we figured it out that the enemy was trying to keep us from this place, because every time we got to the place, it was almost like the weight of the world was taken off, and we would begin to worship and praise him. And pretty soon we were dancing and clapping. I remember the first time raising my hands, going, "Ooh!" You know, that was exciting. And you know, it's interesting that. And so, if we're not doing that now, let's go back to what God told us to do. You know, the raising of your hands is a good place. You don't have to swing too much. I did. I was a person that I started asking God, saying, I want to have a word of the Lord today. And I'd start asking on Wednesday about Sunday morning, because the pastor that we were underneath at that time, he wanted us to move in the Spirit. And so you'd probably get 5 or 6 words to say, and you'd say them, and it made you feel so good, because God used you in that type of way. And so I think it's important. I have actually David and Diane made this up. This is what we have. Please join me this week, and it's an invitation to the community church, and this was made up about a year ago.
Yep.
And then you can put your name on the back. And I didn't have these way back when I should have had them, but how important is it to witness at least every week? And I said, Lord, every day would you show me someone to witness to? And when I made that type of confession, and it was in my heart, it was unbelievable the days that God would send people. And I asked for one, and sometimes it was two, sometimes it was three, that you could literally say, hey, this is what happened to my life. I remember Charlie Walker, we were pouring concrete, and Brother Jim, he's in Texas right now, but we were pouring concrete, and Charlie was crazy. I mean, he would run after people and talk to them about the Lord. Well, we were down the hole pouring concrete, and Charlie seen this truck driver, and he was just standing there. And I said, ooh, that guy's in trouble. So Charlie took off running, and he ran up the bank. And you know, when you dig a hole for a foundation, he ran up that bank, and he got up there, and he got into that guy's face. And I'm going, well. And so then he hollered down to Jim, and we were young Christians, and he hollered down to Jim, Jesus can change you. And he looked at Jim, and he said, right, Jim? You know, making him part of that. And so with that, Charlie led him to the Lord. Now, that probably isn't the way everyone would do it, but Charlie had a unique way of doing it. And if there was anyone that was, Charlie was going to be, somebody's going to get witness to here. And I just really believe that God will open doors if we will get a heart to confess with our mouth, believe in our heart, that people are needing the Lord. And especially at this time, it's probably the most devastating time in people's lives, in the thoughts, and in with this pandemic and the things that are happening. We need to take authority and bring them the hope of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you know, that's just, that's one thing. You were talking about praise and worship, but this is another very important thing. Yep. Is we need to tell people about where they can get spiritually fed so that they're going to be victorious in their life and their family's life. And you know, to all of our surprises, when we did it, we changed.
Yeah.
So if it's good, if the testimony is good enough for us to change, then it'll be good enough for anyone to change if you dare to believe and to witness to them. That's another thought on from praise and worship to taking it out to the people of the city. So,
well, that's a good thought. I like that. You know, every once in a while, and I ask myself this question, and I'm going to put it out there because it's not to make anybody feel guilty or condemnation, but when I ask myself this question every once in a while, it brings a sobriety to where I'm at. And I say to myself this, when's the last time you led someone to the Lord, David? And I sit there and I think, far too long ago. And then it was like, well, now what are you going to do about it? Change the channel. No. You're going to change the channel in a lot of different ways, you know. But part of it is God will meet you wherever you're at. Because we know the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of different ways of doing that. Pastor used to get on a plane and go. Now I think he's probably going to be reaching more people through the giftings and of modern media than, and when you think of it, it's a fraction of the cost, you're not as tired and everything else. But, you know, the thing is, God will meet you where you're at. The first place is, like, when I was first saved, I made a hit list. And you could read that anyway. If the police found this in my basement, they'd probably go, hit list, what is this all about? But I made a list of people I wanted to see come to know the Lord. And I even wrote down some movie actors who were definitely not serving God, but now strongly are serving God.
Hallelujah.
So I'm not saying I'm responsible for it, but I'd like to at least claim a part in that because I had them on my list, you know. And so if there's somebody you'd like to see saved, you know, there are, and it's not right, there are some people, well, they deserve to go to hell. Nobody deserves to go to hell, you know. So, okay, you may have a hard time with them. You may not love them, but you better at least like them. Like them enough to pray for them. So put them on the list. Maybe your mother, maybe your brother, maybe your sister, maybe a coworker. But more things happen when you begin to write them down. Habakkuk says, write the vision and make it plain.
Yes.
Why? So that all that read it may run with it. And the Bible talks about petitions as a type of prayer. It's a petition. So you write down. And then I remember I was praying. I prayed for my mother and father. Prayed for my mother and father for about 2 years. And I remember one night I woke up and there's a very demonic presence in the room. And I said, devil, where one is saved, the whole household is sanctified unto salvation. You get out of here. And I remember taking that authority. And the next day, I'm walking through the house, and the Holy Spirit says, get your Bible. And I grabbed my Bible, and I sat down with my mom. I says, Mom, how do you think someone gets to heaven? Well, I think if their good works outweigh their bad. Well, let's see what the Bible says about that. Your good works are like filthy rags in my sight. That ain't going to do it. So what are we going to do? So then we talked about Jesus and the love of God, and she prayed. And then I'm walking through the house, and here my dad grabs me, pulls me into the bathroom and says, I want to accept this Jesus you've been living.
Oh.
So, okay. So after 2 years of praying, we had a breakthrough all within a week. So now my dad saved, my mom saved, nobody's saying nothing. So I brought them together and I said, Mom, something happened to you. Dad, something happened to you. Tell each other. You know, I received Jesus. I received Jesus too. A lot of hugging, kissing, and everything. Then my dad decided, well, I better go to church where my son's going because it's probably a cult and I better check it out. Meantime, he's like lost as a goose, just came in. He wouldn't know a cult if it hit him in the head with a bat. But he's going to make sure that I'm not in a cult. So he comes with me to church and he's watching everybody raise their hands and he's like, well, I better fit in. So, you know, it was then he retired from the police department, went to the same Bible training I did and took over a church I started when I came back from Africa.
Wow.
So the thing is, start with somebody on your list. Start in prayer. Be open and just keep praying. Doesn't matter. That took 2 years for them. But just keep praying and then, you know, God might lead you to take some tracks around. These, like, you know, four spiritual laws. Leave them here. Leave them there. Because, you know, seeds, you see them blowing all over the place. Cotton trees, everything. And where they land, we don't know. But God knows. And he'll know where to direct your track. The person you give it to, most of the time, you know, when you go to a hospital visit,
yeah,
it's usually not about the person you're going to see. It's usually the guy in the bed beside or across the hall or
that's
somebody
so true.
Else. So where you sow your tracks, the people you talk to, you don't know, but God knows. But there's nothing greater than having someone you've introduced to Jesus, and you know that they're going to be with you together in eternity. That's a beautiful thing. But let's just, if you don't know where to start, just like Pastor said, Lord, please bring somebody by my path today. And I will guarantee you, you'll know it because it will be inconvenient.
Yeah.
It's always inconvenient. I'm in a hurry. I want you to go talk to that person. Don't you know I have things to do? No, and he'll never say anything after that because I already told you what to do. It's just obedience, but it's fun.
Let's, Danny, would you, anyone that has a question
good.
Or a thought, subject thought, why don't you speak that into the mic and
yeah,
we'll get a chance to discuss that.
Yeah, if there's something you've been reading, something you've been wondering about, because I was just thinking of it today, between you and I, if we put our ages together, we got about 12 decades.
Just too many, yeah.
Yeah, and then I figured also probably over half a century of ministry experience, so
yeah,
we don't know everything, but at least we know how to find the building, so that's good.
That is
hallelujah. I just have a comment. You know, when you're joining these Zoom meetings, you know, if you don't want to be seen, turn your camera off. Turn your camera off because everything that you're doing they can see. And
give us a testimony, Dave.
I will give you a testimony.
Oh,
yesterday during the Zoom meeting, I knew that we had lots of things that we had to do. So I joined the meeting in the line at McDonald's. Okay? So we're in the car. We got our McDonald's. We went home, sat down to the table, and we're munching away, you know, drinking coffee and whatever. And at the end of the Zoom meeting, Prophet Dave Wagner called us out. He said, you know, Danny and Linda, I want to pray for you. And I'm going, oh, Lord Jesus. He said, you know, I saw you feasting at the table. And, you know, and I'm going, oh, shoot. But, you know, I just want to encourage you, when these Zoom meetings come up, you know, get on them. But if you don't want to be seen, turn your camera off. Okay? I mean, my son was upstairs listening, and he could just as well have told us that. I mean, you know, we're new. We're kind of new to a lot of this stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I hand my phone to my granddaughter and say, hey, Abigail, will you, you know, how do you do this? Well, or my, yeah, anyway.
And how old is Abigail?
10.
Okay. All right. Well, you got a professional then.
I think your son was enjoying it far too much.
Well, he was upstairs laughing, and I'm going, ooh. Shoot. Anyway, it was good.
It was good.
Yeah. It was good. Thank you. Yeah. Hallelujah. And I also want to say that, you know, one of the things that we were talking about, praise and worship music. If you come into our home, you'll hear string music. My wife and I like string music, and it's playing almost all the time. You know, and music changes the atmosphere, but it has to be the right kind of music also. It has to be the right kind of music. Praise and worship, string music, it changes the atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah.
But with everything.
You have my MC, you have someone over there to
talk. What Danny had said about, you have to have the right praise and worship music, but it depends on what kind of mood you want to set yourself into in the Holy Spirit. I'll put on Audio Adrenaline, Dancing Lord. I mean, that's will get me in the mood to praise and worship him. I mean, but if I want it quiet and peace, then you put on something peaceful.
No, it's exactly right. That's a good point, because there are different types of music, different genres, different speeds, different tempos, depending on what you're doing. Like, I probably wouldn't put on meditative soaking music if I wanted to exercise, you know, because it just wouldn't fit where I'm at. Somebody asked me one time, what's your type of music, favorite type of music? Mm-hmm. Do you like this?
Yeah.
And my answer was anointed. I like anointed music. What is anointed music? Something that the Spirit of God is on, whether I'm exercising, whether I'm waiting before God. But see, the thing is, you want whatever music is to bring you into a consciousness of God's presence with you. And God is only as far away as your consciousness of him. See, we go throughout the week and we forget about God, but he never forgets about us. And he's only as far away as directing our thoughts and our attention towards him. Mm-hmm. And beginning to pray or whatever from there. So good point on that. Thank you.
And there, in thought, sometimes we figure that it has to be a Christian singer, person that is born again, filled with the Spirit. But it's surprising how many times God will use someone that probably doesn't have an inkling that they're being used by God, but they're very, very powerful. Their song for people's lives. Example would be Bridge Over Troubled Water. And I lost my son here 2 years ago. And, you know, any song that you'd get a hold of would kind of remind me of something in his life. And so one day it come across the radio, Bridge Over Troubled Water. And, you know, that thing spoke to me for a month. Just on, and the anointing that was on it was, you know, you go through a bridge over troubled water, and we have to realize that during those times you have to get to the other side. And so that was a real anointed song to me. Now, I don't know if the Beatles at that time were the, you know, the most spiritual people, but what they were singing, God had placed it in for me many, many years later to use that in my grieving process. So, you know, God, nothing wasted.
No, not
God doesn't waste things. He'll probably use something like, yeah, auto adrenaline is what you like. Darla? What was this?
Auto adrenaline. Audio.
Audio okay. Adrenaline.
Auto adrenaline is what my dad used to get when he drove with me. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We would drive to church, and he would say, I always feel like singing Closer, Dearer, Lord, to Thee, or something like that. You know, could you slow down a bit? You know, I'm not in a hurry to get to heaven just yet.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Can you please share an example of a daily quiet time with God so we could be part of that hot category and not ever be in the lukewarm or the cold category?
You know what, Pastor, I'd like to do this. The person that asked the question, I'd like her to answer it.
Okay.
The reason I say that, I live with this lady, and you know, Proverbs says, let another man's lips praise thee and not thine own mouth. And I found a Proverb 31 woman. I rise up and call her blessed. She's a wonderful lady of God. But
yes.
She'll wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, whatever time, and not once in a while. And she will spend time with God. And I really appreciate that. That takes a lot of spiritual discipline. Mm-hmm. And so why don't you share what you do a little bit? I'm blessed.
I really did not want to do that. But I guess I think what Joyce Meyer has said, when you finally get sick and tired of being sick and tired of just having life beat you up enough that, you know, God happens to be the only recourse left for you and you're desperate for answers. And so that's when you're driven to the Word of God. And it looks probably something different to everybody, but it just is a component of reading. So, you know, my struggle has been, how do you get up early? Because God says, seek me early and diligently. That's just part of the deal. Early and diligently. So how do you keep from going to sleep? How do you keep from growing weary? How do you put that praise music on when you're feeling like going back to bed? How do you just press past the flesh and that those hard things, you know, because that's been, I think, is a struggle for a lot of people. I know it's been a struggle for me. And finally, my answer is I got sick and tired of being weak, of not doing what I know I need to do. And finally, I'm just like, I'm going all in.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Let me address that a little bit. What do you do? Because I remember when I was called to the ministry, there's no manual how to go into the ministry.
No.
You know, and it's like, so when I quit my football scholarship and said no to this professional team and everything, it's like, so all I did was is like, okay, all I know is I should pray. So I spent time, like a long time, months in prayer in my folks' basement. But the idea is to get up early. In Canada, when you have a cement floor and there's tile over top in the wintertime, it gets cold. So when I would wake up in the morning and I was drowsy, I'd lay myself down on that floor. And that's how I discovered speaking in tongues. No, I'm just saying. No, but I mean, and then I knew one guy, Jerry Savelle. He talks about, anybody heard of Jerry Savelle, Ken Copeland? Anyways, yeah. He said he used to fall asleep, so he would stand on the edge of the bathtub. And when he'd start falling asleep, you know. And but the idea was, what I'm saying is, whatever it takes. If it means getting up and walking outside when it's 30 below and walking around the block while you pray, you'll walk quick and you'll pray quick. But the thing is, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Because you got to want that breakthrough more than you want that sleep. You got to want God more than you want just the mediocre Christianity. You got to want breakthrough. Whatever it takes, that's what you do. The other thing is, when it comes to prayer, we have to be so careful. I mean, not to be rote. And what I mean by that is I have my prayer. If I just get through this, then I've done my duty. Amen. And there's no power. There's no sense of God's presence. I never try to start to pray unless I sense God. So I might come in to pray, and I'll be still and know that I am God. Why would you start to, like, it's like if I phone my wife, and it's still ringing, and I start talking. That's sort of useless, you know, especially if she's not picked up. And so the idea is, you want to know that, why pray from earth to heaven when the Bible says we walk in heavenly places and we get ourselves into that mindset, I'm in before the throne of God and I can pray from a heavenly place to a heavenly place rather than from earth to heaven. I'm in heaven, seated in heavenly places with him. Might as well just have a talk with God like this instead of being way down here trying to get up here. And so that's the whole idea. And so there is a guy by the name of Hyde. He was a missionary to India. They called him Praying Hyde. In fact, he prayed so hard, people would gather outside of his window just to hear him pray. And there'd be crowds, but it's hot, so he had his window open. And he had a health condition because he prayed so hard, it shifted his heart over to this other side of his body. He would just give himself to prayer. And this man came to preach, and he said, I want you to come up to my room afterwards. I want to pray for you. So this young preacher came up. He walked in, and Hyde walked over, and he fell down at the young man's feet, and he said, oh, God! And the young man said, that's all he said. And I stood there, and, like, and I waited and waited. And all of a sudden, he started praying. And then he said, heaven broke loose, and I was never the same. But when he said, oh, God, he was waiting to get a hold of God. He wanted to know that God was present when he prayed. And you can know in your spirit, you know, there's a spirit in man. So I want to give you, that's one of the keys to answered prayer, is to begin when you get a sense of God's presence. So whatever it takes to get you into that sense of God's presence, whether it's laying on a floor, standing, whatever it is, but to get beyond the flesh will always hold you back. But we don't walk after the flesh, we walk after the spirit. So, so I hope that helps, those little prayer tidbits and helps and stuff. And I'm sure you got some you like to use.
You know, I always figured that everything I do in God should make a difference. You know, you'd say, well, I don't have to do this, this, and this. But when God says, this is what you should do to come to spiritual maturity. And so I've got a card here. It's 11 things, and I could have had one more, and it would have been 12 things. But I just put down 11 things. 11 things to change your life. And I was thinking, okay, the first thing that happened to me after I gave my life to Christ, that definitely was a life-changing experience, but I come to the place of repenting. In other words, I turn from the ways that I was living, and that just means that, I used to be an elder of the VFW, and I didn't go to the VFW anymore. that's a joke. VFW is it's all right. But I repented, and then I was when I went down, I was baptized, water baptized. So it's repentance, and you know, evangelists, when they come, they bring you to repentance, and then a lot of times, what happened, it was water baptism right away. You know, not just waiting for, oh, let's wait another 10 months and try to get water baptized. What happens is you forget what it even means. Mm. And so when you go down in from repentance to baptism, it literally changes your life from the old life is buried. Example is when you go down into the water, that old life is buried, and when you come up out of the water, there's a new man, a new woman walking. And you'd say, well, that didn't happen to me. Well, it happened to me. In fact, I was baptized as a baby, at least my mom told me that, and dad. And then, so the argument right away is I've already been baptized, all right? But I really didn't, I wasn't baptized into Christ that I become a new creation. It was just, I went through a religious experience that my mom and dad told me I did, and that was good. And if you went through that, that was your saving of your soul. And that's not true. You know, so the truth will set you free. So when I was baptized, water baptized, I fought it. I fought it for a whole week. And when they took a picture of me before water baptism, and so when I went down, I started laughing because I was so bent on saying I was baptized before that I didn't realize when I went down was baptized in water. It literally changed my life, and when I come out I started laughing. So when I went down, I was struggling with it. When I come out of the water, I was laughing, and it changed my life because, hey, you know what? Do what God tells you to do. Yeah. Do not do what man's always trying to say, if you do this, this will change you.
Right.
You know what? If you do what God tells you to do, it'll change you. You know what I'm saying? So that was the first one. It says to be born again is the second one. To receive my sight here. Let's see. Oh, receive a life coach, being a person in your life to get understanding.
Like a mentor.
Yeah, it'd be a mentor. The Lord told us to be disciples. So if we're not going to be disciples, then a year down the line, you haven't changed any because you didn't receive someone in the congregation that could mentor you.
No, we should constantly be being mentored and mentoring.
Yeah, just yeah, a good, very good, because then then you'll be, I said, if you have children, do you take care of your children?
Of course.
Or does somebody else take care of your children? No, you mentor and you actually discipline or you disciple your children. And so it's important that we have that type of area in our life. To be baptized in water, of course, and to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, you talk about fighting City Hall and God and everyone else, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues and spiritual gifts and all those things. People will fight you until, you know, the cows don't come home. And the fact is, that was a life-changing experience for me that I literally could make it through, because I wouldn't have made it through into Christianity without the infilling of the Holy Spirit in that. And so, you know, I just wrote these 11 things down. I said, why would it be so difficult for you to do 11 things and you actually did them and it changed you? And then so like when, well, I'm dead in Christ. I've been buried with him in baptism. And when I come out of the water, I'm alive with Jesus Christ right now.
Amen.
You know, and you start confessing the word of God like that, it'll change your life. And so it's an exciting time. I believe that by the Spirit of the Lord, I believe that this is the most exciting time on the earth for the born-again believer, for the church. I think it's its finest hour. I believe the coronavirus was just a wake-up call that we have shook the whole earth. Coronavirus, we can go to almost any country on the earth because it shook everyone, and everyone knows about it. It's a great time to take the gospel to those that are needing to hear the word of God. So I'm real excited about the time that we're living in, and prophetically, it's our finest hour.
Yeah. Pastor Jake,
hour. Yes.
During the Zoom meetings yesterday, one of the things that, it was basically on mental health and how to make sure that that we keep ourselves well. And one of the things is that, you know, this pandemic shut people down. It isolated people. And it made people fearful. And one of the things that everybody that spoke yesterday encouraged people as Christians, you know, we're out and about. And if we see somebody that's discouraged, or if we see somebody that's down, you know, walk over to them and encourage them. You know, you might be the life source for them. You might literally save their lives, because it shows that somebody cares. You know, one of the things that Jamie said yesterday was that when God comes in the room, everything is illuminated. I think that's what she said anyway, something like that. And that's profound. When God gets on the inside of us, he illuminates.
Amen.
I think Pastor Jake just probably had a good place for us maybe to start to wind up a little bit about where we're at right now, about this being one of the finest hours. It's amazing to me the amount of Christians still that are somewhat fearful, perhaps because of the way the presidential elections turned out. Some are gleeful, some are, you know, throwing their hands up, others whatever it is. But here's the thing, they say, who's they? Well, first of all, you ever heard that, they say? And I usually ask, who's they? And then, well, them. Okay, who's them? The experts, who's they? I don't know. You know, so basically you're saying you don't know what you're talking about. So, okay, we'll continue this conversation. So, okay, they, them, whoever, say, don't talk about politics in church. That's not the place for politics. Let me tell you something. It was in the early church.
Yeah, it was. Yes,
it was
absolutely.
The place where the people didn't have television. They didn't have social media. They came to the church house to get their news, what's going on in Washington, what's going on in the Continental Congress, what's going on. So then they had the Black Robe Regiment, which were preachers that had their black robes on. And then at the end of the service, they'd peel off the black robe and they'd have their military uniform underneath and say, amen, let's go get them, boys. And then they'd meet next week for the church service. Those guys mix politics and religion. Now, if you want to be politically correct, you won't do that. I would rather be biblically correct.
Yes.
Yes.
And have the blessing of God. So, whether about the politics, what just happened, whether you're afraid. But let me remind you, Jesus said you err in that you know not what spirit you are of. Let me remind you, body of Christ, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind.
Yes, yes.
Let me tell you, it works. I was in a college football scholarship. I was able to bench 300 pounds, no problem. Big guy, afraid of the dark. That doesn't make sense. But I was. And my room was downstairs in the basement. Of course it was. And, you know, so I turned the light on here, walked down, turned it off here. It was just ridiculous. So I had one of my football coaches, a mentor. You're either mentoring or getting mentored. My football coach. He took time. And I meditated on that scripture. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power. What type of power? Power over all the works of the enemy. Love. Love. What about love? Love conquers all, and a sound mind to know greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So then I went and turned off the lights, and guess what happened? Fear came, but I called it a showdown with the devil. And I started quoting, God's not giving me a spirit of fear, but a power. What type of power? Holy Ghost power. Love, which conquers all, and a sound mind to know greater. And I did that, and then pretty soon fear left. I had never had a problem after that. That will work for everything when you know who you are, when you confess who you are, and then you're going to have to face the devil because it's your devil, not my devil, your fear, not my fear. But you get the word of God, you face it. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm getting sort of wound up here. But, you know,
I'll throw these on the floor.
God has made us more than conquerors, but that means there's some things we're going to conquer. So you're going to go out this week. You're going to have some things that you're going to have to conquer. But we overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And with the word of God, Diane spoke last week. She said, we have the logos, the written word. We have the prophetic word, which we can hold to. And then we have that rhema word. Just that live word on the inside of us. And that's like a two-edged sword ready to go out of our mouth. My goodness, the devil's not a problem. And so let's go forth with no problems this week.
That's right. Yes.
We're people that's with cool. answers. Amen?
Amen.
Now, just before we go, going once, going twice, going three times. Anybody have one thing they want to bring up, anything they want to say before we go?
All right.
I married that woman I thought she might.
Somebody's birthday's today.
Oh, happy birthday,
let's,
Pastor Jake.
Let's sing
Jake.
Happy birthday to David.
Oh.
Happy
birthday to you, David.
You.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to David.
41. Happy 41. Birthday, dear David. Happy birthday to you.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Yeah, and to celebrate the occasion, I Grecian my beard, hopefully trying to remove 20 years. So.
Yeah, you look good in that. I didn't do that for myself, so.
Yeah, you're more honest than
that's
me, I guess.
Right. Well, let's stand up and let's pray.
Amen, Pastor.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for the time that we've had here.
Yeah, it was fun.
And we could have went longer, no doubt, or shorter. But the fact is, we went as long as we needed to go. We're wanting you to be blessed this week as you leave this place. We talked about praise and worship. One of the great things of breakthrough is praise and worship. We heard it in a prophetic sense that's where the victory is going to be when we praise him, when we worship him. You see, that's not always has to be a corporate thing. That should be your individual thing. And I think Sarah, the two Sarahs, and did such a great job in praise and worship. In bringing us to that place. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Bless the people as they leave, Lord, that they're living life with God. They're living life with the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and they're living with the Holy Spirit. Lead and guide them throughout life, especially for this next week now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. If you are needing prayer for anything, you can come up and we'll pray for you. So God bless you. Make sure that you shake a hand, hug a neck, whatever, before you leave and get some fellowship. Okay.
Did you enjoy the format today?
Yes.
Amen. It was interesting. Well, God bless you. Thank you.
A little different.
Yes.